It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and I'm joined now by Washington Times national reporter Ben Wolfgang. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
Doing just fine. Wind power subsidies spared cuts. They got away with government help for at least another year?
For at least one more year. It's one of those, as we saw yesterday, there were a number of reports coming out about all the crazy tax breaks and tax credits and things like that that got slipped into this fiscal cliff deal at the last minute. Everything from money for Puerto Rican rum makers to breaks for NASCAR. And the wind power tax credit was one of those things that, in the end, Republicans, I guess, didn't think was a big enough deal to let it torpedo the whole fiscal cliff agreement. So wind power providers are safe for one more year. We'll see what happens from there.
Okay, now what do they get? Do they get tax credits, loans, grants? What kind of help are they getting and how much?
There are a number of different credits and tax breaks within the agreement. The big one is the wind tax credit itself, which is worth about $12 billion each year. And essentially that is, of course, you can write off the costs of building wind turbines or starting some sort of wind farm project. So that's the big one, but there are other renewable energy tax credits and tax breaks in the fiscal cliff agreement as well, a number of them for solar power, for geothermal, and a number of things like that. But the wind provider tax credit is certainly the big one, about $12 billion each year.
Now, wind power's been around for a while. Why does the industry continue to need help? Shouldn't they be sort of flying alone by now?
Well, that's the point that a lot of Republicans have been making lately is that, hey, we've been providing government help in one form or another for quite a long time for wind power. And as a matter of fact, if you read the statements that have come out after the fiscal cliff deal from the wind power industry themselves, they're kind of upfront in saying that, hey, of the 120 some odd thousand jobs that are in the wind industry right now in the U.S., close to 40,000 of them would go away if this wind power tax credit was eliminated. So, I mean, right there, that kind of gives you a clue. If one-third of the jobs are essentially being funded by the federal government, which means they're being funded by you and I, something doesn't quite add up with the industry. You would think after all of these years of government help being propped up by loans and grants and tax credits and tax breaks, that they'd be able to stand on their own. And they say that eventually they will, that they're moving in the right direction, but if you're going to lose 40,000 jobs because a government tax credit goes away, then it's obvious you're not quite ready to stay on your own 2 feet yet.
Yeah, and I've had some conversations in the past with people representing wind power industries, and they have some real question marks in the delivery methods of this, and I guess that eventually they'll come along, but right now they just haven't gotten to the point where they can make it really efficient for the consumer. And
right.
I guess, those in the government want to see it continue, but sooner or later you run out of time and you run out of money, and Lord knows we're running out of money. What about solar power? Are they sort of in the same boat? Do they have guarantees?
Solar power has a similar tax credit to the wind industry, but theirs is guaranteed through 2016. So, of course, I think you and I talked a couple weeks ago when we interviewed Arno Harris of the solar power industry, sort of outlined some of the problems and issues they've run into in recent years, everything from Solyndra, to a number of others. But having said that, they're in a little bit better shape, and regardless of what you think of the power source itself, if you're an investor, solar power right now seems to be the way to go rather than wind power, solely because you have guaranteed government support through 2016. Whereas in the wind industry, you don't know what's going to happen with these tax credits and these tax breaks at the end of this year. Republicans certainly aren't going to want to extend it again for another year, so the wind industry is kind of in a state of limbo, whereas the solar industry can, at least for the time being, sort of kick their feet up and count on government support for at least another 3 years.
All right. Now, what about other subsidies? Coal, gas, nuclear, do we have any of those?
In the fiscal cliff deal, you mean?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
But we do have something for algae power.
Yeah, that's right. Algae power and rum and NASCAR tracks and wind and solar power. That's right.
They seem to be the
highest priorities right now.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have any idea how you develop power from algae? Because I don't. I don't. You know anything about it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've actually asked that question to a number of people and had it explained to me multiple times, and I still, frankly, don't really understand it. So it's a little bit above my pay grade, I think, on that one.
Yeah, but we're giving $59 million to the cause.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people think it's quite promising, but, of course, you know, a lot of people have thought that ethanol was the answer to our problems and a number of other sort of magic bullet, if you will, type fuels that were going to come along. Algae just seems to be the latest in that list, but I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe people will be running our cars on algae in a couple years.
Yeah. Where do the lawmakers stand on this generally? Is it the Republicans that fight these kind of subsidies and the Democrats are pro-subsidy? Is that normally the way that works?
Generally, yes. That's a pretty fair assessment, you know, in a very general sense. But there are notable exceptions to that. Senator Chuck Grassley, of course, he's a big supporter both of ethanol subsidies and of wind subsidies because his state benefits a lot from that. A lot of wind farms in his state, a lot of ethanol production in his state. So he's sort of an exception. There are a handful of other Republicans who favor these subsidies, just as there are a handful of conservative, you know, what's left of the Blue Dog Democrats who maybe want to see them go away. But, yeah, generally it breaks down along Democrat and Republican lines. But I think one thing we saw in the fiscal cliff deal is that this isn't a big enough issue for Republicans to really get up in arms about it. For example, you had Senator Lamar Alexander, who had been a pretty vocal critic of subsidies for wind and for solar and for geothermal, et cetera, saying that it distorts the marketplace, really makes the playing field unfair for natural gas, for oil, and for coal. So he had been out there saying we need to let the tax credit expire and we need to sort of balance out, level the playing field for all fuels in the energy sector. But he ended up voting for the fiscal cliff deal that included an extension of the wind power tax credit. So there's a breakdown along party lines, yes, but when it gets down to crunch time, it's just a relatively small piece on the chessboard, I think.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. They're afforded the luxury of having the money presented to them for at least one more year, because even with the upcoming battle over spending cuts, they'd be protected by this legislation that was passed Tuesday night.
That's right. That's right. They can count on it for at least 12 more months, and I would expect that we'll be having this same conversation at the end of this year.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, Ben, as always, thanks for your help. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Andy.
Ben Wolfgang, national reporter here at the Washington Times. 4:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.